Would you pray with me? Loving God, we ask that you send your Spirit among us,
that we might be made more aware of your presence in this place, that we might hear your words of wisdom and guidance speaking into the needs of our lives, where we can grow more as your disciples in how we live in the world, that whether through me or in spite of me, we may be transformed.
First scripture reading is Psalm 98, verses 1 through 5. Praise the judge of the world, a psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody.
We turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you are baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last week, I know I dove into a lot more about General Conference than I was initially meaning to, but the whole purpose of that was to talk about this idea of what do we do with the other. In our culture today, the other is feared. It is kept separate. There is a desire, okay, they exist, but they should not have power. They should not change things. Or they should be kept out completely. We need to remain singular. We need to remain unified. We need to remain united. And anything that threatens that should be feared, should be fought against, should be resisted, should be limited. That is the message in the culture around us against anything that is different. And in some ways and in some cases, that message has crept into the church. And how we as Christians deal with one another, as we as Christians live and function in the political world, fear has overtaken. Fear is driving what we say and what we do, or whether or not we speak at all. It's not what God has designed his church to be. He has given us a voice. He has given us a hope. He has given us a mission to uphold. And we let the divisions in the world stifle that. We let our witness be muddied because of things that have nothing to do with the gospel of Christ. We live in fear. And the news cycle and everything else that we can watch and turn into every hour that we are not in church or not reading scripture or not talking to other believers is designed to feed in to that division and that fear. Partly because it draws attention. It keeps your eyeballs. And so we as Christians have to find a way to live better than that. We have to find a way to quell that fear. We have to find a way to welcome the outsider, to welcome the diversity, to welcome the stranger, instead of fear it and keep it at bay. In today's passage, we hear of Paul writing a letter to the Corinthians, a church that was started because a group of Jews in Rome were expelled from Rome. And they found their way to Corinth. Now, Corinth can best be described as the Las Vegas of the ancient world. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. It was a central trading hub on the sea from the east and the west, and roads from the north to the south. There were people of intellect and wisdom arguing philosophy and religion, and then there were the working class, the traders and the sailors, bringing everything that a transient lifestyle where you're not tied to place will come with it. All of this division, all of this disparity or plurality of beliefs and behaviors existed within this city that Paul is writing to. In this city where there is this church taking root. When we think about it that way, we realize that the church that Paul is writing to sounds a lot more like the world today than we imagine it, our world 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And Paul is writing to a group of people, reminding them that they are united in Christ, that Christ is the one in whom their hope relies. Christ is the foundation of their faith, the perfecter of their faith, and that they need to stay united in Christ. But people were beginning to forget that. He goes through this list. I hear some of you among you quarreling, probably jockeying on who is more important because of who baptized them or who led them to Christ. Well, I belong to Apollos. I belong to Paul. I belong to Cephas or Peter. They were measuring themselves according to the world's standards by who led them to faith, and it was creating division. And again, we see that today there is so much division among Christian denominations, and we claim it because we know who we came from. Oh, I belong to John Wesley. I belong to Calvin. I belong to Zwingli. I belong. We forget who unites us. We focus on the divisions, and the division happens even inside the church. I wish I had written down a list of the pastors in our history where various people in this room joined under. I remember when so-and-so was here, and I came to this church when he was here, and that was the heyday, and the church should be like that. And I remember when this pastor was here, and that was the heyday, that's when I came in, and the church should be like that. Vision arises. We live out our mission is quarreled over. We forget that all of those pastors and all of those, the people that started our various denominations, and the people that baptized people in Corinth, did so in the name of Christ. Paul's stream of conscious writing in this letter always catches me off guard. I am glad I never baptized any of you. Well, except for this person and this person, and well, there was this family as well, and I don't think there's anybody else. Is what he writes. And you're like, why in the world would he make that bold statement of saying, I'm so glad I didn't baptize any of you so none of you could say that I belong to Paul. But I think what he's writing is brilliant. think what he's writing and what he's saying by doing this is showing that it does not matter. Who he baptized and who he did not is of no importance. What matters is that they were baptized. By writing it off, saying, I think I did this person, and I think I did that family, but and there may have been a few more, it shows that what truly matters is they have been united in Christ. And so he gives this exhortation, let there be no division among you. May you be united in Christ. Now, some would read that and say, well, everybody has to think alike and do alike and everything. Everybody has to believe the same things, same way, and function in the world exactly the same way so that everyone can be united. But what if it doesn't have to be? What if our unity is not based on our beliefs, isn't based on our actions, isn't based on the things that we do? If that's the case, there's a lot more room in the church for diversity. There's a lot more room in the church for the other. There's a lot more room to, in the world of Corinth, where people would talk with one another, they would grow together, they would challenge one another. They say, well, this is how I read this passage. No, well, this is how I read that passage. Well, why do you read it that way? Why does that way of reading it give you life? Well, this is why it lifts my soul. And why do you get life from the way you read it? Why do you think this passage leads you to act in the world in this way? Read it in terms of this other passage. And I feel that that's the right way for me to live. We cannot sharpen one another. We cannot compel one another to grow if we don't have those conversations born out of those differences that come from our experience, that come from what we have learned and received, that come from the traditions that we come from. Maybe people in this room that trace themselves back to non-United Methodist beliefs, and they bring a voice that can speak to us Methodists. And I hope vice versa. And in that process, we grow more in love with Christ. We learn to grow more in love with one another. And we learn that diversity, that difference, isn't something to be feared and fought against as if it could destroy us, but that we are united in Christ. Christ unites us, and nothing can shatter and break what Christ has knit together. We bring different experiences and traditions, and we are made stronger by focusing on what unites us. And that is the one who died for our sins, rose again, and calls us to follow him, laying aside everything for his sake, who dispels all fear, who gives a lasting peace and joy, and who seeks to bring healing to those who are hurting. If we live out that faith, we live out that unifying reality in our lives, in our ministries, and we bring healing and hope to a broken world, we have truly done what Christ has called us to do. And we will have shown the world a church that is not driven by politics and fear, but one driven by hope and love. There's a quote that's attributed to theologians from Augustine to John Wesley in Essentials, Unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. The essentials is Christ. In non-essentials, may we learn from one another, grow together, exist and eat and break bread together. But in all things, may we treat one another with love. Wesley said, if we cannot all think alike, love alike. And is there any greater thing that will be got more love? It's a recentering that we need to place ourselves in, to center on Christ, to grow in love and diversity, and to cherish. Amen.
We come to that point in our service when we truly recognize that we are not alone, that we are united by God's love, united by a shared history, united by a shared purpose, and united in such a way that when one part of the body is hurting, we all feel it, and when one part is healed, we all celebrate. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that your Spirit is moving among us, that it unites us in prayer, that your abiding love never abandons us. We see people committing violence against one another because of who they are, what they believe. We fail to see what unites us, and it all seems so overwhelming that we're not sure that we could ever do anything, and so we remain silent. For fear of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. And in the vacuum of our silence, others speak up. Those who would sow division, those who would sow fear and anxiety, those who would sow violence. This world needs a witness to your love, to your cross, to see that there is another way, a better way. Help us to see it. Help us to catch glimpses of it where it's already taking root. Help us to tend to the soil wherever we may find ourselves so that your kingdom seeds may plant, may grow deep roots and flourish and provide food and bounty to all. Help us to live as your people wherever we find ourselves, speaking words of life and encouragement and healing to those who are sick, who are confused, who are hurting, where our actions have caused that pain. We seek forgiveness. Help us to see it, help us to learn, and help us to perfect, become more perfect in you the next time. We lift up those prayers that have been said aloud this day. We lift up Mrs. Siebert, her illness, and the confusion that comes with it, and the pain that comes from grief, and the pain of those around her that see how she is now and remember how she was before. We lift up all those who grieve this day, all those who feel forgotten and alone, all those who feel unloved and unwanted, all those who live in fear from other people and violence, fear for not knowing where their next meal will come from, fear from having to choose between a place to live and much-needed medication. Help us to grow into your people, to dispel fear, to use our voices, our words, and our deeds to sow hope. Unite us together under your love in Christ. Unite us together under your cross, that what once was a sign of oppression, a sign of death, who would bring shame upon the world, shame upon the family of those who are executed under it, has now been transformed into a sign of hope, that not even death or the pain that this world can throw at you will not prevail, that the tomb is empty and that you have won. Let that give us hope and life and confidence to proclaim your good news, even though the world may announce it as foolish. Help us to live as your disciples each day, growing more in love with you as we closely follow you wherever you lead us. And as your disciples, let us pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples so long ago. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May you go from this place trusting in the one who gathered you, trusting in the one that loves you and died for you, trusting in the one that unites us together in spite of our differences. Now let us pray the prayer we pray each week. Send to us all the people who feel unwanted and unloved in other places. And if they can't come to us, send us to them. May you go from this place in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.